It was so long ago since he had read the litany in the unified prayer book, and never before had he spoken the words, not in an age of science and universal knowledge, living in an arcology of crumbling concrete and gleaming composite. Even the church questioned their need. They were a relic of the days when faith and paganism were still as one. But now they shone like the sun in his mind. Freya's contempt descended into shock. What? She flung her legs off the bed. My Lord God, look upon your servant Freya Chester, fallen to this unclean spirit, and permit her cleansing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Horst made the sign of the cross above the furious little girl. Stop it, you old fool! You think I fear that, your blind faith? Her control over her form was slipping. The healthy, clean image flickered on and off like a faulty light, exposing the frail, malnourished child underneath. I beseech you to grant me your strength, O Lord, so that her soul may be saved from damnation. The Bible burst into flames. Horst groaned as the heat gnawed at his hand. He dropped it to the floor, where it sputtered close to the leg of the bed. His hand was agony, as though it was dipped in boiling oil. Freya's face was screwed up in determination, great rubber-like folds of skin distorting her pretty features almost beyond recognition. "Fuck you, priest!" The obscenity seemed ludicrous coming from a child. "I'll burn your mind out of your skull. I'll cook your brain in its own blood." Her possessed shape shimmered again. The lame Freya below was choking. Horst clutched at his crucifix with his good hand. "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I order you, servant of Lucifer, to be gone from this girl. Return to the formless nothing where you belong." Freya let out a piercing shriek. "How did you know?" "Begone from this world. There is no place in the sight of God for those who would dwell in evil." "How, priest?" Her head turned from side to side, neck muscles straining as though she was fighting some invisible force. "Tell me." Heat was building along Horst's spine. He was sweating profusely. Frightened, she really would burn him. It was like the worst case of sunburn he had ever known, as though his skin was splitting open. His clothes would catch fire soon, he was sure. He thrust the crucifix towards the girl. "Freya Chester, come forth, come into the light and the glory of our Lord." And Freya Chester was solidly before him, thin sunken face racked by pain, spittle on her chin. Her mouth was working, struggling around complex words. Terror pounced from her black eyes. "Come, Freya," Horst shouted jubilantly. "Come forth, there is nothing to fear. The Lord awaits." "Father," her voice was tragically frail. She coughed, spewing out a meager spray of saliva and stomach juices. "Father, help!" "In God we trust, to deliver us from evil. We seek your justice, knowing we are not worthy. We drink of your blood, and eat of your flesh, so we may share in your glory. Yet we are but the dust from which you made us. Guide us from our errors, Lord, for in ignorance and sin we know not what we do, and we ask for your holy protection." For one last supremely lucid moment, the demon possessor returned. Freya glared at him with a ferocity which withered his resolution by its sheer malice. "I won't forget you," she ground out between her curled lips. "Never in all eternity will I forget you, priest." Unseen hands scrabbled at his throat, tiny fingers, like an infant's. Blood emerged from the grazer's sharp nails left around his Adam's apple. He held the crucifix on high, defiant that Christ's symbol would triumph. Freya let out a last bellow of rage. Then the demon spirit was gone in a blast of noxious arctic air which blew Horst backwards. Neatly stacked piles of food packets went tumbling over. The bed linen took flight, loose articles stampeded off the dresser and table. There was a bang like a castle door slamming in the face of an invading army. Freya, the real Freya, all crusty sores, ragged clothes and bony famine figure, was stretched out on the bed emitting quiet gurgles from her chapped mouth. She started to cry. Horst clambered to his feet, hanging onto the edge of the bed for support. He drew a gasping breath, his body aching inside and out as though he had swum an ocean. Jay and a troop of frantic children rushed in, shouting in a confused babble. "It's all right," he told them, dabbing at the scratch marks on his throat. "Everything's all right now." When Jay awoke the next morning, she was surprised to see she had overslept. She hardly ever did that. The few minutes alone to herself at the start of each morning were among the most precious of the day.